You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, This Week, Dario Kristen.
What's up, everybody? As you can see, I am not Dario Kristen. He is unfortunately, well, or maybe fortunately, frolicking around the world somewhere doing something else.
With Oprah.
Other than being here with us here at Black Hollywood Live. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live This Week. I am your host, Courtney Stewart, and I am joined in the studio with two lovely young gentlemen.
Oh, thanks.
Looking very smashing today.
Mm. Yeah,
I've got
smashing.
Nick Perdue across the table.
Nick Perdue, guys.
And we've got...
I don't know. What,
yeah. I don't, why are you humping the air?
She's at smashing, so I automatically went to the...
Oh gosh. That's awkward. Where your brain is. Okay, and next to the smashing Nick Perdue, we've got my favorite DJ, DJ Jesse Janity.
What's up?
So, we got a lot to talk about this week.
Girl.
We got all kinds of things going on. We got Diddy doing things. We got Chris Brown being a dummy. We got lots of things going on that we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we want to go back and talk about what happened last week because you guys out there voted in our buzzer meter question. I almost don't want to talk about it because it hurts my feelings a little bit. So, last week's buzzer meter question was, do you believe TLC or do you believe Pebbles? And lo and behold, Lord Jesus, 58% of y'all believe Pebbles, and only 42% of you believe TLC.
Mm-hmm.
So, granted, it's closer than I thought it was going to be, because earlier in the week it was 60-40. But I'm shocked to hell.
Pebbles PR doing some
it's
good,
working,
I guess.
But I don't see how it's working, because after that interview, I was less inclined to believe her. Right. After the Wendy interview that we talked about last week.
Maybe we have a lot of older white women watching our show.
Old white ladies, you believe Pebbles? Wouldn't they believe the poor young girls?
Like, they got their RAV4s. They were happy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They should have been thankful
they
for, what,
been
they
thankful
got.
For what they got.
Exactly.
They was working. They got free clothes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, Pebbles. Girl, apparently you're winning. Good
Charlie
luck with that.
Sheen.
Maybe she's got a case after all to sue them. So this week we have a new question that we want you guys to weigh in online, www.blackhollywoodlive.com. We want you to vote. Do you like that Jay-Z teamed up with Barneys? Yes or no? Let us know. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jay-Z and Barneys a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned. We got Jesse up right now with some trending topics.
Yep. So, kind of exciting. Diddy, he's always doing something creative, branding himself with somebody else. Well, he's branding himself with the NBA and NBA with Ciroc to the toast of the NBA.
Well, all right now.
It's a very interesting concept. Basically, Diddy's going to be in charge of all the NBA parties. He's going to make sure that it's going to be responsible celebration.
Well, all right.
And, I mean, it ain't a party one without Ciroc, for real.
For Let's real. Just... Ciroc is very nice. Very
I'd
nice.
Say that.
That was a very nice
but
thing.
But... responsible. I kind of like the idea of this happening. Basically, what's going to happen in the future is a lot of the NBA stars are going to be making public service announcements about responsible drinking, responsible celebrating, which is kind of a good time because we have New Year's coming up, which
yes,
has
we do.
One of the higher rates of drinking and driving. So, yeah, Diddy, if you want to tell us any more about the toast of the NBA, we'd love for you to come on.
Come on in. Sure.
So he's got that going on. Now, obviously, we just talked about Jay-Z. He's got this Barneys. They're working together on this clothing line. It just got... the collection was just revealed, and Beyonce and Jay-Z were celebrating. And Angela Yee, one of the hosts from The Breakfast Club, got to kind of get a little sneak peek. And she tweeted... or she Instagrammed out some of the collection.
All right.
The collection that everyone's been waiting for...
We've all been waiting
consists of... leather black Brooklyn hat for $695.
That's all?
Boxing shorts for $2,500.
There you go.
A Sean Carter watch for $33,000. Or a Crocodile Rick Owens jacket for $58,000.
Wow.
It is Crocodile.
I got me a Crocodile.
Croc ain't cheap, y'all. Yeah. Croc ain't cheap.
Yeah.
You would think they would be, though, because they
Crocodile
hanging
hot dog the other
in
day.
The swamp all the time.
$58,000, though, for a jacket?
Yeah.
That's Croc.
That's crazy.
There's purses that are like that. It's Croc. It's the materials.
Okay. Come on.
And that's a lot of coverage.
That's a lot of coverage. You know how many Crocs had to die to make that happen?
That's
so Peter. Basically, ain't gonna be liking you, Sean Carter.
It's not a vegan line, that's for sure.
But I will say this though about his watch, because it is a Hublot watch. So, you know, because it being like $33,000 or $35,000 or whatever it is, like that, like I can see that. You know, so that's probably the only thing in the collection. Because I know he had like ski masks too. That was like $400 or $500 or something like that.
Yeah, it was $695 for ski masks.
That's
first of all, I'm kind of like, what are you trying to bring back right now? They look creepy as hell,
and they're like full face, like
So it's for skiing,
girl. But
what are y'all talking about?
Right. Until smart mofos start taking that damn mask, run around like, well, I'm a sophisticated, robber. I'm robbing you with my $695 ski mask.
Is it leather?
Well, so no.
No, it's a regular.
It's a basic. Oh, it's cashmere, excuse me.
Okay, cashmere is expensive.
It's a regular old knitted cashmere ski mask.
And I think it's the one that Beyonce's probably going to be wearing in her new video. So
I thought that was a Louis Vuitton. No.
Was it Louis?
I think it was Louis Vuitton. Oh. Because I feel like the LV was on there or something weird. And I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, so basically, Angela Yee posted this picture and her fans went crazy. And a lot of people on Twitter went crazy, basically saying, what the hell with all that's happened with, you know, Barney's as of lately? Why would Jay-Z team up with them and, you know, create clothes that his demographic can't afford? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think? Should he have chose Macy's or Kmart, like Nikki?
No. I'm glad. Well, here's the thing. Like, okay. First of all, I feel the people that are really getting mad are people who don't shop at Barney's anyway.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, listen, I understand that you're getting mad, people getting racial profiled or whatever, but when's the last time you even passed by a Barney's in New York? Like, you know, like, let's be honest.
I can honestly say I have personally never even been in a Barney's.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, whether or not they want these little black folks in the store or not, that's a whole nother thing. But people buying, you know, Jay-Z stuff, their core demographic will probably eat it up.
Jay-Z's core demographic for this line is Barney's customers, not his regular cousins on the block or whatever.
So basically he's going to have a whole bunch of mid-aged Armenian men dressed like...
I mean, if they can pay for it, and the money is now supposedly 100% of the proceeds are going to the charity as opposed to the 25% that it was before.
Yeah.
So, see? I mean, you can't be mad for real.
Here's the thing. I mean, am I initially mad at him? No. But then when I look down, I sit down like, what are you doing to your community, or what are you doing to represent positive things in music? Because I don't know what I mean. Okay, it's going to a charity.
Well, maybe his ultimate goal is to raise the highest amount of money possible in a short period of time. And Barney's was a prestigious collaboration
because this is just a holiday collection.
It's just a holiday collection, and it was already set up before they got caught up in their racial discrimination stuff. Even though obviously the racial discrimination was probably happening all along the way, but in terms of it getting pressed, it's new. So he stuck with it. I don't think he should have stuck with it personally, but I think he should have.
Why don't you think that?
I just think that, because initially I was like, I get it. Like, the business deals were already done, and there's the argument that you can work from the inside out of the organization, and, like, if you just stay away from the organization, it's not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's honest truth based on what I would think his involvement actually is with the organization, and I don't think he's so up in it that he's actually going to be there for an extended period of time to actually make any sort of change in the structure of Barney's, so to speak. So I think in his position and who he is, the stronger statement would have been, I'm going to write my own check for the amount that I would have received from that collection and give it to the charity so that the charity doesn't lose out. and gave Barney's the finger. And I just think that would have been a stronger celebrity statement moment that he could have had. And to say that staying away from a company is not going to harm them, I don't think is accurate. He was trying to make the argument that, like, not shopping at Barney's and boycotting Barney's and that kind of thing is not going to change anything. Maybe it won't, but that's, to me, almost like saying they boycotted the buses and it changed something. You know what I'm saying? Like, if enough people, it obviously can't just be black people, but if enough people who obviously would be buying the stuff to begin with because he has the line stood with him and he told those people, don't buy from Barney's, that actually would make a real strong statement to Barney's. And I think some people would actually follow.
All right. Amen.
Well, okay, but let me ask you this, though. What about the whole thing that he did with Cristal, and he said, you know, forget Cristal because they're racist. There's still people who are drinking Cristal. And there's still some rappers who are talking about and popping bottles of Cristal.
I mean, yeah,
it's
but...
true. I mean, it's one of those things. If they're going to be racist, they're going to be racist.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, like, where do you want to be standing at the end of the day?
That's true.
And I feel like now he's sort of standing on that side where... We're kind of like, you look a little dirty now. Yeah. Like, you got your shirt dirty. Because that's probably
you got your $33,000 shirt dirty.
Yeah.
You happy?
Sorry, boo.
That's cute.
I love y'all.
Well, positive note, Shonda Rhimes is getting her first book deal. She said she's very excited. She's going to take a break from the small screen. And she's going to focus on her first memoir.
She's got that good money rolling now. Chill out and hide in a closet and write a book.
I ain't worried. So basically, it's going to basically trace her life and talk about motherhood and the challenges of, you know, being a single mother while, you know, striving for professional success. She says, I have made a lot of mistakes as a single mother. And as a working mother, and as a sleepless mother, and as a dating mother. And I did all of it while running a bunch of TV shows, so I'm going to write about that and hope my kids don't use it against me in therapy later. So it's due out in 2015. You guys gonna read it?
I would read it. I would love to see how her sort of world came about and how she's pulling it off, because she's pulling it off real well.
She really is.
She's pulling it off very, very well.
So congratulations, Shonda Rhimes, creator of Scandal. And if y'all are fans of Scandal, y'all can check out our cuz company, AfterBuzzTV.com. We're an after-show network for your favorite TV shows like Real Housewives. As soon as your shows are done, go to AfterBuzzTV.com and we're probably talking about it.
Oh, it still kills me that you call it our cuz company.
I don't know, because it's like I called it bro, I called it sis. I'm like,
it wasn't working and now it's cuz. That's beautiful.
I guess it's our parent company.
Parent?
There you go. That sounds a little more.
I don't know.
Step-parent, is that?
Step-parent.
It's our stepmother.
It's our AfterBuzz.
It's just damn AfterBuzzTV.com.
Check it out. That's all that really matters. AfterBuzzTV. Speaking of things that matter, gossip and rumors, Nick Perdue, what do you have for us this week?
Chris Brown.
Oh, Lord. Chris Brown.
I mean, you know, I mean, okay. Because, you know, he was in court and... you know, because he was booted from rehab, right? And I'm not saying it surprises me, but it surprises me. Because I had faith in this kid that he was really trying to turn his life around, you know?
Why, like, did you have faith in him?
Just because, like, I remember running.
Because he put himself in rehab, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's like it looked like he was trying to do the right thing.
But now it just makes him look really crazy. Like, why'd you check yourself? Like, he didn't mean to be at that front door. Right. He was just like,
yeah. He was just trying to look good before he went before the judge.
Yeah, but, okay, so, and then what happened, though, too, was that he smashed his mother's car window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but why?
Because he's a crazy person.
Because he's a mad kid.
A psychopath.
He likes breaking glass.
Yeah, he does, with the
Good Morning America
thing.
Good Morning America window. Yeah.
He
were apparently in therapy, I guess, together. It was a, like, group therapy situation.
And
he got upset and left and went and bashed his mom's car. I thought they were, like, arguing outside or something, and that's how it happened. I'm like, you got up from your session, walked out the door to your mama car and found a brick or whatever and threw it in her window.
I mean, granted, he probably bought the car for her.
Right.
So.
He's probably like, I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my shit.
That's one of those things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's.
But I can't. You know what? I mean, I'm not that to that extent. But if I do get mad or something like that, like I always hit my things, or because I don't want to like I have dents on my car because of things. Like
but
that.
Don't you think like the path like between getting up, getting out of the building, finding a rock for the car and then throwing it. Like, there were so many moments where you could have been like, oh, okay, I shouldn't do that.
But when you're mad, you know, you have tunnel vision. So he's thinking, I'm going to break this car.
I'm all about mad because I have a temper myself. But really?
But can we just talk about what is Chris?
Why are you mad?
Why are you mad? Like, I know, you know what? People go through a lot of shit. But, I mean, you know, I know money don't buy happiness. But it can buy, like,
You got a girl.
You got a beautiful girl who Wendy Williams said is prettier than Rihanna.
She did. I don't agree.
Yeah, I think they're both equally pretty and two totally... Like Karrueche is so such a beautiful, basic girl.
Wow.
What is a beautiful, basic girl?
I mean, like, Rihanna is fucking Rihanna. And Karrueche's like, oh.
Well, that's why he mad.
That's what Karrueche's like, oh.
And he misses.
No,
okay. Rihanna.
No. But I don't think he misses. Okay. I think he loves him some Karrueche. He just dragged her around everywhere. Like,
she was at the courthouse.
Yo, she's the ultimate side chick. Like she's. No, for real. Like, let's give her.
Karrueche.
Like, she knows her position and she plays it well. When he was with fucking Rihanna, she was still there, you know, in the little condo that he put up for her in West Hollywood, doing a little thing, driving around the little blue Lamborghini or whatever. And then once that was over with, you know, she's like, hey, I'm ready to get back in the game. And she got back in the game. She was at the courthouse with him, holding his hand, you know, rubbing his back, you know, doing whatever she needed to do to make sure he didn't freak out in the courtroom.
I think Rihanna's the devil, honestly.
Like,
I feel like Rihanna's pussy is voodoo, and it just made this poor boy crazy.
So you blame Rihanna for him being crazy?
I am because at the end of the day, like, I kind of forgot who Chris Brown used to be, and I kind of went back and saw some of the videos.
Watch
like,
the old videos, yo.
Where did he get sucked out from? Like, and yeah, it was right when that.
It's called methamphetamine.
Oh,
wow.
I mean, well, looking at this picture, this boy done shaved his head. He looked like a skeleton. He looked like that man that tattoos himself from the Lady Gaga video, like a skeleton. He looks crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
but I want him to win. I support the X-Files. That's his new mixtape he just released. I support it.
We want you to win, but I want you to be locked away for somewhere for some time because you are a crazy person.
Wow.
And you need help.
Yeah, I just want to know what he's mad at.
He's mad because they took away the methamphetamine.
But I mean, he can always get a little something. What I do like, though, is that his mom, you know, no matter what he's going through, his mom still has his back. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, as a mother should. Because he's gone through a lot, you know? And, like, a lot of mothers would be like, you know, like, we just, let's just stop this. You know, like, let's, you know, I'm going to get you out of here. Like, let's, you know.
Yeah, she.
But she's like, you know, I'm still here when you need me. She even tweeted, you know, my angel with broken wings, God loves you so much, and I do as well.
That's so sad.
But, like.
She wants her poor baby to be okay.
Yeah, but pull him out of this. Like, well, I just don't get it.
But he's a grown man. She can't pull him out of anything.
Ooh, I'm a grown man, too. My mother would be right up at the concert.
You ain't crazy. Well, she was at therapy with him, and he threw a brick at her stuff. Like, she's trying.
No, see, but maybe therapy isn't the way. Like, you know, like she's like, the black mother. She needs to, you know, and she's from the South. You know what I mean? Like, let's get this Tappahannock,
well, maybe
Virginia
she was
together.
Tapping a little too much, a little too early, and he just went left. Everybody can't take it the right way.
Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, another thing, he gets out of rehab, right? And then he's at Justin Bieber's party.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what were you doing there?
That's what he's mad at.
He was looking at the naked girls.
I figured it out. Because if you look, like, Justin Bieber's worth, like, over $100 million, and Chris Brown's, like, right around $30 million.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Well,
yeah.
Bieber's got dollars.
So that could be. And Bieber doesn't have a Grammy. Chris Brown has a Grammy now. You know what I mean? So he's like, yo.
I don't think Chris Brown is mad at that.
Well, in the end, Bieber's headed down the same path anyway, so...
I don't... Really? Think Bieber's going to be a meth head?
But Bieber's white, so America is going to forget.
They're going to be okay.
Yeah,
well, as long as he don't beat a white girl.
I mean,
He beat Selena Gomez. His career is done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think America will forgive him. Like, if they were able to kind of, like, kind of come back with Chris, kind of comeback with Chris.
Chris messed up his own comeback because people forgave his behind.
Yeah, exactly.
And half people didn't even believe he was that guilty to begin with for that incident.
I mean, Justin can do it and then come back and be like, you
know. Bitch, if R. Kelly can come back from damn peeing on a damn 14-year-old girl to the Spice Girls.
But R. Kelly was like on the low. Like, his dirt was like,
down low.
Bitch, he had damn 4 videos in that one.
Yeah, but like, no, we weren't, like, that wasn't like common pop culture information.
It sure wasn't.
Like,
that's scary. That's like,
it's scary, but
that's like cut your pearls.
What I'm saying is like, R. Kelly's like the dirty uncle that everybody knows about, but like the rest of the world don't know about. Like, we all knew R. Kelly was dirty, but everybody else didn't know. We kept that.
My mind's telling me no. What, bitches?
My body is saying pee on me. Well, speaking of which, Kanye West and Zappos going at it.
No.
Going at it, right? So, you know, because Kanye is talking about Zappos has shit products.
Oh.
Right? Which is terrible. It is. Like, it is terrible. So Zappos like, you know what, Kanye?
Bump you.
We got something for you.
Well, wait. The whole reason was because they offered, which I totally think was legit of them. I mean, in his interview, he talked, he couldn't get sponsors, he couldn't get certain products out. And so Zappos was like, hey, you know, we do this company worldwide.
Worldwide.
You know, we might have some information for you. And then he went on that rant. And
another Kanye rant. Talking about how Zappos has shit products, you know, and what's I think this is very very clever of the CEO, and so he was like, well, okay, you know, we have shit products, so they have this plunger here that they're marketing for $100,000, and the best part is the product description. So it says, interested in buying shit product? You've come to the right place. Here at Zappos.com, we happily sell shit products to everyone. This is the throne everyone has been watching. Whether you're number one or number two, your click will show no mercy, even in Paris. The perfect gift for the man that has everything, requires a lot of focus for most productive use, considered a safety zone when in arguments, makes giant arguments seem much smaller, and caution, do not place our ship products near any fans. That was really, like, I couldn't do better myself. That was great.
I mean, Zappos is, if you've ever seen the 2020 on them, like, it's like one of the funnest companies to work at.
Yeah.
So, he's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you know, I was like,
leave Zappos alone.
Tony, he's the CEO over there. So he did. It was funny. Because what's funny too is that a couple of people, you know, like put comments and everything. And so one of the comments said, "Where'd it go?"
He lost his comment.
I did. I lost the comment. But it was a funny guy. You guys can go on Zappos.com and read the comment. But it was a funny comment. Mm-hmm. It had a whole bunch of things to do with this bound to.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
amazing video that you guys should all check out online.
it was an amazing video with Kim Kardashian and her
and somebody
flying.
Else's body.
Speaking of shit products,
wow. But speaking of amazing videos, though,
amazing videos.
Outkast, right? They are set to reunite, possibly at Coachella 2014.
No. Almost might make me go to the Durham Desert and use the porta potty.
Right?
Possibly they're gonna headline.
Okay, well, I mean, it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, because I've been waiting for an Outkast reunion. I'm ready to bump bombs over Baghdad again.
It's
you
time.
Know, the whole world loves it when they make that sound. So it's time for them to come back and you know.
Do you think so? Do you think it's gonna really happen? I mean, obviously they're performing together. They're going to go on tour. They said they were going to do a tour.
Yeah.
But do you think new music will really come?
Yeah.
Because they said, we done.
We done. They did say they were done. But I think that, Andre was working on a movie. I could see him doing new music.
Like
for
being on the road
the
again.
The purpose
it kinda,
of
yeah.
sort of a creative, like, extra thing to have
something may
going
happen
on.
Like it just may, like they may have like a single or something or maybe like a mixtape just might come out because I mean you know you have like Andre's bars is ridiculous you know and then Big Boy's there so he'll give it a little
I'm having some flashbacks
but like they have hits though like they have a great catalog
I would see like literally I hate my best friend's been trying to get me to go to Coachella for like 8 years now. I have never gone and have no desire to go. I don't do outdoor mess with drunk and mess and deserts and
drugs.
Heat and
drugs.
That would get you consider over. It. I'm not saying I'm going, but I would really consider it to see that.
Could you imagine all the black folks that would go to Coachella?
Dang it, Nick, you're ruining it.
I'm just saying. No, say no, it. Okay.
Totally kidding. Totally kidding.
Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. Well, wait, to piggyback off this,
Source Awards.
You heard about Lauryn Hill?
Yeah.
And her homecoming concert? The cheapest ticket you can get is $106.
Look, she still owed the government some money, boo. She got to make some cash money.
She does.
I just hope she shows up.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you know, $125.
I don't know who's going to pay. I don't know anybody that's going to pay $125 because so many people have been so disappointed multiple times over the last like 6 years of her pretending to show up to stuff and not actually showing up or showing up late and yelling at everybody else like we did something wrong.
Mm. Well, she showed up to jail, didn't she?
She ain't had no choice there. They found her. They will find you. Okay.
You gotta show up sometime.
Maybe being in jail has like made her turn over a new leaf.
Maybe your tour would have been called Long Coming, not Homecoming.
Yes. Or maybe at minimum she was able to get the proper medication because she was in jail.
Wow. Okay.
Can't wait for it, Lauren. Real excited. And we are so excited that you listen to us and comment for us and share your love for us all over the place. But one place we need you to definitely do that is on iTunes. So we here at Black Hollywood Live have quite a few shows. We got Mr. Nick Perdue that does stand-up sit-down. We've got a music show called The Beat that Jesse does a wonderful job at. We have also got a fashion show called Fashion 411 and many, many, many other shows. We would appreciate it if you keep downloading us and make sure you're rating us, sharing your comments all on iTunes because we need those comments to keep on making great shows for you guys. And we need those ratings because we like to be number one. And we love you. So, moving on, this week, Hot Topics. We got some stuff, y'all. Oh, Lord. It's hard for me to go into the ones that I automatically just get annoyed by people's effery. But we'll start at the top. So, anybody been hiding under a rock? Well, you should know Best Man Holiday did amazing at the box office on their opening weekend. Like, so amazing. We should all take a moment of silence. Because they did that. Okay, so Best Man Holiday brought in $30.5 million for their opening weekend, which was real close to knocking Thor off of the number one spot. Thor ended up coming in at $38.4 million. So they just missed it. But Thor was in way more theaters. Well, not way more. Quite a few more.
About 2,000 more theaters.
About 2,000 more theaters. And so, obviously, Thor is a big blockbuster type movie that you expect to do well. And, of course, certain Americans didn't think or were shocked and surprised and amazed that, oh, God, these black people did a movie that almost beat Thor? Thor is like the ultimate white man. How could that have happened? Well, Scott Bowles at USA Today decided to put his ignorance in writing. I'm sorry, I'm delivering the news, so let me not sound like I'm not being objective. So Scott Bowles wrote a headline for his story about the box office success of Best Man Holiday, and he titled that headline for that story, quote, "Holiday nearly beat Thor as race-themed films soar."
Wow.
Race-themed films soar. So, obviously, that was a point of contention for quite a few people in the social media universe, including myself. Race-themed? So, he got some pushback, some upset, some hostility, and they decided to change the frickin' headline to, quote, "Holiday nearly beats Thor as ethnically diverse films soar."
Can we hold up? Pause. Thor. Can we just talk about Thor right now? Thor. Don't they live on another planet? Aren't they from another planet? Aren't they called a different race species? Wouldn't that what?
Well, Jesse.
But
in case you didn't know,
Thor is blonde hair.
Thor is white.
I didn't know that. I'm talking about this man.
He is not race-themed or ethnically diverse, according to this man. But the kicker of it all is that they had to change it again because they still obviously got pushback from that title and decided to change the title for the second and last time. And they changed it to, quote, best man holiday nearly beats Mighty Thor. And currently, the article also has an editor's note attached to it, if you go to read the article online. And the editor note reads as follows. We've listened to your comments, and thanks for sharing them. Valid points. The original headlines were an attempt to capture that films with black casts have done exceptionally well at the box office this year. Good intentions here, but unfortunately, the story's message didn't translate well into the headline. So editors revised the story.
Bullshit.
Well, wow. USA Today, you're a real special place.
Hashtag race films.
Okay, Stephen, you're white. Stephen in the booth.
You're white, Stephen.
You're white. Would you see that and it be bothered you, the original headline? Race-themed film Thor?
I just don't know why they have to classify it as such.
Praise the Lord!
It's just like comedy film beats dramatic comic book film. That's what's more surprising, is that a comedic film like Best Man Holiday, like a romantic comedic film, would beat a movie like Thor because it's so much more widely regarded for kids and other demographics.
But, I mean, it's just like, holiday movie. That's all you gotta say, because that's what it was. Yeah. A damn holiday movie.
Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, you had a racially themed actor, Morris Chestnut,
in the lead.
Racially themed actor. I like that. He was very chocolate tea.
Who is in a lot of these ethnically
diverse, you know,
scenes
diverse
with the ethnic Tay Diggs.
And you have Tay Diggs, who is, you know, another racially themed actor. You know, you got a Terrence Howard, who's not as racially themed.
I like this theme. I'm into it.
The whole,
yeah, the movement,
the black movement.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, chocolate makes Christmas feel a little better. So, you know, I get it.
Show does.
Well, the only thing I will.
First of all, just go see the damn movie. I mean, Best Man Holiday, it was awesome. You're going to cry, you're going to laugh, you're going to do all that.
Green, yep. Yellow. It is a family-themed film. It is a friendship-themed film. It's a love and relationship-themed film. You don't have to be on the inside of the black culture to go see Best Man Holiday. So hook that up. USA Today, you should
fire that.
Go hide in a closet somewhere, because that was just... sad.
And sing R. Kelly while you're in the
sad,
closet.
Sad, 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 sad. But it'd be nice at some point that...
The ethnically themed...
Ethnically themed music, and you'll feel better about it. Well, maybe by the end of this year, after all of these ethnically themed movies that we have, we'll finally like get to a place where it's like, oh, ethnically themed, they're like normal movies now. So then we'll finally get classified as just a movie. Moving on.
Get a pat on the back.
Keep
all these BET awards coming out of these athletes. Sorry.
Oh, my God. All right, next up, we had Oprah in the news this week. I'm sorry, the story is great. So Oprah is hanging around in the UK. She's touring and doing press for The Butler, which is opening up abroad. And she did an interview with the BBC. The interviewer, Will Gompertz, asked her a few questions, and she had some interesting answers to them. First, basically, he was sort of asking her about issues of racism in this country being America, and her response to how, like, we'll, you know, kind of get past the racism that still exists was, quote, there are still generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it. It being racism, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
That was aimed at Paula Deen. That's why she was marinated. It was a low key shade.
She marinated, and they just have to die.
Hey, sugar.
Okay. So then the interviewer goes on to ask her a few more questions, and basically he asks if she felt like there were instances of racism that Obama has had to deal with.
Mm-mm, not one.
And her response...
She could think of
it. Or if she ever thought that racism may have been involved in some of the interactions in dealing with Obama. And she goes as follows, quote, probably it's crossed my mind more times than it's probably crossed yours. I think that there is a level of disrespect for the office that occurs. And that occurs in some cases and maybe even many cases because he is African American. There's no question about that. And it's the kind of thing that nobody ever says, but everybody is thinking. So, I mean, that wasn't that serious. I mean, I'm pretty sure sitting at this table, most of us are kind of like, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. That's probably true. Well, nobody really cared except Fox News. And not only did Fox News, like the whole network of Fox News was
every show
real upset. Okay, they had about 18 shows that had to have something to say about what Oprah had said. The first comment about the racists that just need to die was taken on by Sean Hannity, who had a nice little ad, basically, of Oprah and the quote that she had that, you know, they marinated in this. They just have to die, highlighted in bright red letters, like some horrible, terrible nightmare flick. And then on Mark Levin's show, he went on to say that, God, he was angry at Oprah. And he said, of all people who has gained so much from this country and is living in the lap of luxury because of it, is now trashing the country. The country were as bad as she's saying it is, and other race baiters claim it to be, then you should be in a country where people are literally dying trying to get to where you guys are.
Well, first of all, we are in a country that is doing that.
But also, she never actually said it was that serious. Like, she simply said, I think there were occurrences of racism.
There are some ignorant-ass people that just need to die in this country. I mean, I... Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because, like, you know,
say
people
every day
are just stuck in their ways. And especially, like, once you get to a certain age, like, you're really not going to
change. You can't take an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, all you got to do is just, you know, because everyone's going to die eventually, you know? So those with those particular beliefs, you know, they're older, so that means that they're just going to die sooner. So we can wait it out.
Well, that's a perfectly logical argument, but more Fox News people went on to be further upset with the second part of her comment, because they went in on her Obama comment. Bill O'Reilly went in on it. Fox and Friends went in on it. Our favorite former co-host of The View, Miss Elizabeth Hasselbeck, yeah, had a wonderful thing to say. After her friend, Mr. Kilmeade, said, Brian Kilmeade on the same show, first started off saying, this is just comical, do you see racism when Harry Reid called President Bush a loser? Is that respect for the office? Bill Clinton was impeached for his actions in the office. Is that racist? Elizabeth Hasselbeck follows it up with, and certainly throwing around racist accusations and calling someone a racist, certainly for disagreeing when they are indeed not, would undermine racism when it really does occur.
I can't
with
anything in this life. I mean,
that's, you know,
the fact that this is just that was just the most ignorant channel ever, coming from every single sentence that you read off of that. I just can't support anything. I mean, and there's a lot of Fox shows that I enjoy now.
I try to be open-minded with Fox News, and I try to, like, listen to their perspective, because the bottom line is they're allowed to have their perspective, and their perspective can inform my own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, nobody said anything about anything horrible. She didn't say a lot of them, and, I mean, Bill O'Reilly obviously went off and was constantly talking about Oprah pulling the race card, and why are we pulling the race card for Obama? People simply don't agree with his politics, and that's all that it is.
I think just we need to send Fox News on a trip, on like a I think
trip.
It should be a network thing, and I think that they should go to Massachusetts at that camp where they have to realize
where they all
slavery.
Have to be slaves.
Right. I think that experience may change
for like a month, though. They need to
the
do
demographic.
It for like
they need it for a
month.
Long time.
Yeah. So they, you know, so really like home, because and just if Fox News was off for a month, I don't think people would kill themselves. Like, you know, people wouldn't go crazy. So they can take a month off. You know, preferably during Christmas season.
Who's watching Fox News during the holiday season?
It really doesn't, you know.
But QVC,
you could take a company trip.
Play It's a Wonderful Life, you know.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Okay. Oprah's. Steven has a perspective. Wow. They deserve to die. All right. Well, sadly, that's not, like, not even a story. It's really kind of sad. It's like, nobody else cared.
Hey, guys.
Nobody else cared, but it was all over Fox News.
You know.
Sorry.
Reaching for stories right now.
Oh, people empathize. Okay, last but not least, we're going to talk about a little story called They Are Still our slaves. So there's this article circling social media right now that actually dates back pretty far. I believe it dates back to about 2006. That was the earliest occurrence I can find of it. And essentially, now Edge magazine has sort of posted it online and mm-hmm. sort of revamped. Everybody's sort of circulating it again and talking about it. It is rumored to have been a hoax that it like never actually happened, but the background of it is supposedly this Harvard educator by the name of Dee Lee wrote or received this letter from a Caucasian person in regards to black people and their sort of financial slash economic slash social position in this country. And it was entitled, "They Are Still Our Slaves," and it was read on a radio station. All of that has not really been confirmed, and it's showing that it's possibly not actually something that occurred, but nonetheless, it is something to think about. So this article says quite a few things. Quite a lot of things, actually. Basically, the three main reasons that black people continue to be slaves in this country are because of ignorance, greed, and selfishness. I'll read a couple of quotes from this article and we'll talk about it. First up, their ignorance is the primary weapon of containment. A great man once said, quote, "The best way to hide something from black people is to put it in a book." We now live in the information age. They have gained the opportunity to read any book on any subject through the efforts of their fight for freedom. Yet, they refuse to read. Moving on. Greed is another powerful weapon of containment. Blacks, since the abolition of slavery, have had large amounts of money at their disposal. Last year, they spent $10 billion during Christmas time out of their $450 billion in total yearly income. Any of us can use them as our target market for any business venture we care to dream up, no matter how outlandish, they will buy into it. They would rather buy some new sneaker than invest in starting a business. And last but not least, selfishness is ingrained in their minds through slavery. They didn't read that The Talented Tenth that I can't talk right now by W.E.B. Du Bois was then also responsible for aiding the non-talented 90% in achieving a better life. So basically, he referred to W.B. Du Bois's article on the talented 10th and saying that, yes, that exists, and we have already separated them ourselves as a culture. And we separated them, but we also did not choose to help the 90% because we are the 10th elite, and we didn't go back to help the 90%. That is the rest of our community. So he goes on, and obviously whoever wrote this, I would venture to say it was Bill Cosby, but somebody wrote it and claims that for these reasons, we will continue to be and still are slaves to this white America that we live in.
I mean, okay, I've heard the reading one before, but you know what's really interesting about that is you can make that into a race thing. But if you kind of look at our country as a whole, it's not going to currently be a race thing anymore. It's going to be a generation thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have these teen moms and all. I feel like all the programming on television, the shows are getting shorter. You watch a show, you're going to get 4 episodes in 1 half-hour episode. It's dumbing the generations coming up down. And it scares me to see, like, who going to be running this country 40 years from now, 30, 40 years from now, if that we even make it that far?
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Like, because I've read the article, and I can't say that I disagree, which is, like, it's alarming because, like, I see that. And, you know, because there's, like, not a lot of black folks read. Mm. And like, it's... I don't even feel like it's scary, you know what I mean? Because we're like, you can go to the inner city right now. I'll just use that as an example. You can go to the inner city, right? And there are these kids who go to school, right? But how much of the knowledge are they actually retaining? Whether it's the books, whether it's the teachers, whether it's whatever. But how much are they actually retaining versus if you ask these same kids about the new Drake song? They can recite the entire Drake song front and backwards. You know what I mean? Like, they have raps that they've made, this and that. So it's like, stuff, I don't know if it doesn't interest them or whatever, but this is, it's just basic common stuff that you need just to exist and just live in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like you said, in the next 30, 40 years, like if you don't have these basic skills, if you don't have like this regular stuff down, then it's like there's, the country's going to be in turmoil. You know, and
more so than it already is.
Yeah, and they, like, people are stupid now. Like, let's be honest. Like, the vast majority of the people living in this country, like, if you ask someone what, because I overheard this the other day, but if you ask someone what an indentation is for a paragraph, a lot of people don't even know what that is or why it's even necessary.
Or how many people actually sit down and, like, use slang. Or, you know, how if on Twitter handle, basically, on papers and pass them into their teachers, yeah. Like, yeah. U is Y-O-U, not U, the letter U.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you think that, for argument's sake, mm-hmm. that perhaps it is just going to be sort of a humanity slash cultural shift, and it's not an issue of stupidity, it's an issue of the fact that those things are no longer relevant. It's not necessarily relevant, per se, to be able to write
proper
English, so to speak.
I mean, proper English can change, you're absolutely right, because yeah. It's just dialogue. I understand that, I do get that part. But, you know, it's funny, I was watching Kanye West, a clip from his concert he did this week, and he said, you know, it's funny how they hold us down. They hold certain people down. He says, they'll never give me the credit that's due. He says, whenever they acknowledge me, I forget what magazine he named, they said, Kanye West released a great new album. He's very artistic. It's very artistic for a rap album. And then he kept saying, for a rap album, for a rap album. When Justin Bieber releases his album, it doesn't say, for a pop album. And he's using that certain words that are tagged with certain celebrities like him, Jay-Z, because of his skin color. It's I was comparing it to, I watched this documentary where this woman goes into the classroom and she basically takes the white kids in the classroom and treats them as if they were slaves. And it's certain terms that she uses to belittle. And it's just one person overpowering the thought process of someone else to the point where you have to be right. And I do see that today. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. And that's what irritates me when Jay-Z teams up with Barneys. Because it's like, how deep are you really thinking about what the problem is? And like you said earlier, now you've stepped onto the other side.
Well,
I don't know. I just went into a rant.
You know what else is all right, because here's the thing, too. It's like, because you know how you talk about the 90% and then the 10%, right? So, but here's the thing, like, how do you help somebody that doesn't want to be helped?
You know, well, what I mean? They don't want to be helped because they don't know that they can be helped.
Okay, but is it that they don't know that they can be helped, or is it that they don't want to be helped because they say, okay, like, versus you have this guy who is a banker, right? And then you have Jay-Z who sold drugs and then now he's a multimillionaire,
mm-hmm.
right? What life seems more alluring? The banker who makes, let's say, $200,000 a year, right? Which is great. Great money versus Jay-Z who made like $40-60 million last year or whatever it is, you know. So it's like, well, if he can do that and he did this and he did that to do that, and you got the adult boy out here, you know, slinging drugs or whatever, riding around a brand new Escalade, you know, shiny wash, shiny this, shiny that, then it's like, versus if I have to read and I have to do this and I gotta do that and I gotta do that just to get to $200,000 a year, like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
But that's because they're learning from this. And it's kind of, wasn't you, Courtney, we were talking about, I don't think it was, with these artists, we don't see the growth. Jay-Z's this mystical person. Mm. He's, what does Jay-Z do? How did Jay-Z really get to where he is? You know, yeah, he was a drug dealer. So if I become a drug dealer and rap on the side, like, that's going to put me into the world. Like, that's who they're looking at. He's not actually sitting down talking, putting out documentaries or things, talking the people who are paying attention. You know, it's like some of these kids probably didn't have a father or a mother that sat down and said, did you read today? Yeah. You know, that's what where everything needs to kind of shift towards. And I mean, at this point, Jay-Z is a parent to most kids. Yeah. Than
the actual parents.
Yeah. And that's, but that's actually, I mean, taking it out of the sort of race dynamic, because you mentioned earlier that it's sort of becoming a generational thing, which I also agree. Then who are we slaves to? Because if it becomes a generational situation, and I think that some of this is... Actually, no. I don't think any of this anymore is specific to just black people.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it's a culture thing in America in general. And if that's the case, is it not just a cultural shift in what signifies success, what signifies advancement, what signifies all the... Because it used to be education, which then led to career-like life, which also led to financial independence, which and then led to a level of freedom that you don't get in poverty, so to speak. So, like, that was sort of the path that everybody wanted to some kind of way get onto. But now we have paths of reality stars that get to these levels of freedom that we want, because we don't just want freedom anymore, we want recognition and fame.
Yeah.
So if that is sort of what the circle becomes, and it's not just about being able to provide for a family and getting a house,
Russia
anymore,
or China,
yeah, that, who are we slaves to?
That, entertainment.
What's going to happen, because like what's crazy too is that like a lot of these other countries, like their third graders are like learning at like 10th grade level. You know what I mean? So, like education is still big in other places in the world. And so it's like you don't have these type of problems to where, like, people are like, oh, I'm not going to read because that's stupid because we have these reality TV shows. Granted, some other countries have stupid reality TV shows, too. But, you know, just, like, what their culture is, it's education, 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 education. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's a lot of these business people that are coming from these other countries buying up a whole bunch of land and buying up a whole bunch of stuff out here. You know, and that's why we're importing all of us when we can make all this stuff here. But because the education isn't where it needs to be, we're like, oh, we'll just buy it.
Angry white man in the booth. It's kind of a downward spiral, guys, honestly, because our education system is too flawed when it's based on the numbers. And when we have the numbers going down because students aren't paying as much attention in schools, what they do is they lower the standards for students to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that way their numbers go up for students passing, but then we have a bunch of people who have high school degrees who get into colleges without the level of education required for the degrees. So now our colleges are full of students who don't have the required education, so they have to lower the standards in colleges for the degrees because the colleges need their students to actually get degrees to keep their numbers up. So now we have a whole slew of teachers with teaching degrees who don't actually know their stuff. And they're teaching the next generation of students badly, and they can't hold attention because they don't really have a very good teaching degree or a good experience doing it. So it's really just a downward spiral that begins with a corrupt system that really just wants numbers over quality. They want quantity over quality when really students have to realize that their education's in their own hands and the school is just there as an accessory to get you to that point you need to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But why don't students realize that?
Because they don't have good role models to look forward to.
Well, who's a good role model?
At this point, teachers should be. I'm so serious. Like, I know it sounds so crazy, but it's like, who's the most popular person in America right now? It's Beyonce. It's not Obama. It's not.
It's Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, whatever. Kanye West. These are the important people. And that's so sad. It's sad. Not only are they just the most important people in America, but I mean, really? They're worldwide.
Are we coming from just a jaded perspective, though? Because we are sort of the transitional generation where it still kind of mattered, but we still were young enough to sort of receive what was happening with the shift. And so we're saying, oh, you need this and you need that and you need this. How do we know that the world isn't just shifting in general? And if America's in general the sort of trendsetter, is it not just that we've started this trend that's going to become a nationwide thing? Because a lot of people think that China's just going to implode because they're trying to do what we do cheaper, faster, and crazier. But they're trying to get, in a lot of ways, the way that we are.
Well, they have more people.
In terms of industrialization.
Because I think we look good from the outside. I mean, look at us, you know what I mean? Like, we can wear what we want to wear. We can supposedly do what we want to do. We have the ability to create entertainment, and it's all about the flash over here. Anytime I talk to someone from Europe or out of this country, that's all they talk about is, you guys are so flashy, you guys are so this, that. Mm. They really think Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is what we be doing out here. Really?
Yeah.
They think we are all little Beyoncés, like, hey, look at me with my little jangles from Zappo, whatever the damn hell it is. Zippo, whatever, I don't know.
This is interesting, though, because, like, all the information that you can get from schools, like the actual, like, education, you can get online now. Like, there's, like, a lot of stuff that you can just get online, and you can, like, read, and you can read. Right. And you can learn this stuff on your own. So it's all accessible to you now. There's even like colleges that are doing stuff online.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, honestly, like, I'm not going to put nobody out there, but you don't know how many people I personally know. And it gets damn annoying who like, how do you spell soup? Like, just crazy things, and it's just like, you graduated high school. Like, what?
No,
or can't do basic math skills without a calculator.
But how relevant is that going to be in 30 years?
You're always gonna need math, though. That's like, you're always gonna need math. You're always gonna you can send a tweet or you can send an email on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you misspell the word, it's underlined in red, right? So you know, hey, this word isn't spelled right. Right. But if you keep the word misspelled and you send it out, you're an idiot. I'm saying you're an idiot. Because the computer is telling you, hey, this word is misspelled.
Yeah.
Here, in fact, trying to spell this? Okay, but you can click right now. Were you trying to spell this? Or were you trying to spell that?
I don't know.
You're an idiot. Pick up a dictionary. Be like Eminem. Pick up a dictionary and then rap about something, you know, relevant.
And I get what you're saying as far as, you know, is this just where the world is going? No, I don't think it is where the world is going. I think that we are dumbing down, and that is
are we dumbing down or are we just changing? Because believe me, I'm just arguing the opposite side right now, because I sit and I think about there's, for all the lack in our education system, believe me, I see it every day with the 8-year-old. It is a mess. But on the one hand, I think about the fact that I'm thinking from a perspective where I believed and was taught that this way was the way that you got to where you needed to go. And if nothing else showed us that that's not necessarily the case anymore, was the economic situation of 2008 in this country. Mm. So I'm just curious if perhaps we're not allowing ourselves to think outside of the box of what we have decided as elitists ourselves, because some of us are very fairly educated and astute people that have been brought up in a certain culture as to what education and intelligence and what you need to survive sort of is. Mm-hmm. And if perhaps maybe that's going to be something different going forward, and what we're actually in is sort of in this flux period of a major shift in cultural beliefs, cultural education, how we're going to function as a culture going forward, and all kinds of things. Because we're all like, oh, I can't believe this happened. But it's still happening. And somehow we aren't able to stop it or change it back to what we thought was good. Mm. And I'm certain at the turn of the century, when moving from sort of the Victorian era into the 20s, there was like a shift culturally in what was believed to be acceptable, what was believed to be acceptable socially, what was believed to be acceptable educationally. And all these things happen over time. They happen from Shakespearean times moving through. And I'm sure that as the years came out, people were looking back like, oh, we don't speak the way that the Shakespeare mm-hmm. people spoke at that point. Oh, they're dumb now. But really, it was just an evolution of something. So maybe we are not embracing the evolution of stupidity.
Well, I want to ask you a question, Courtney. I agree with that we're in a transitional period. That's really kind of what it is, because people don't know, because there's a new viewpoint compared to 20 years ago. There's going to be a new viewpoint in 20 years. So the system is going to change and everything's kind of different, like how you receive your education, how you receive your job, whether it's through a trade skill or whether you go to college or go to high school. When you really don't need a high school education, if you do the research on your own, you can probably take a test and enter a university.
Yeah.
There's going to be a transition, but do you believe that this is actually going to broaden the class system in creating a bigger divide between the classes, because when you have it going to be between the people who work at an education themselves and put their effort forward for that, and the people who don't at all and then try to succeed to be the next Jay-Z but end up working jobs, just any job they can get, and living and being basically the ground support for America, I feel like there's going to be an even wider gap between the classes within the next 50 years.
Yeah. It's just like if you look at slavery, or if you look at when they came over with the natives. In a sense, they outsmarted their opponent. They gave them blankets with malaria, things that they have never seen before. And it's not that the natives were dumb. They were just ignorant, too. And I kind of see that. I feel like if you were to get into that whole conspiracy theory esque movement, but that's what they're doing to it. That's what they're doing to us, and that's what essentially what
Who
we're
they?
Doing to each other. People, that 10%, I think that it's a certain people who, when you really get to know the person, it is. I mean, people are greedy. People are they want things for themselves and their family, and they don't want to share secrets. I mean, we live out here in Hollywood. How many people are really coming up to you like, hey, Courtney girl, like, you know, I really wanted to try out for this audition. You should try out for it too with me. Like, no, I got this role. I'm doing this. You know what I mean? That's just in Hollywood. Put that on a bigger scale with people who have way more money than we do and who had a better education than us. They look down. It's just, I mean, I don't know who they is, to be quite honest, but that's what I see happening. I see whether it's someone in this country seeing another country come in and whatever, even if it's 70 to 80 to 100 years from now, coming in and us becoming these entertainment slaves. Like, I just feel like who's really being, you know, coming up and being like, I want to be an engineer or a scientist, or it's depleting.
Well, it goes back to the old saying of knowledge is power, and you look at the undertones that saying has, and you look at how the Catholic Church back in, like, Renaissance times, when people are telling them, okay, the earth revolves around the sun, they didn't not believe it, they just didn't want it widespread, because the more they can limit the knowledge, the more they could control the masses.
Yeah.
And even now, in today, I mean, it's a little bit less thanks to the internet and things like that, but there's still things that people, that are kept from people to prevent people from gaining more knowledge and being able to have too many chiefs and not enough Indians in their respect, because they think there's always too many chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, the easiest way to control people is to have a whole bunch of dumb people. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way. You know?
But is that a new con? Like,
no.
I'm a believer that dumb people are always going to be there and have always been there. And this idea of
but it's about spreading
selfishness and self-preservation and this whole, like, if I would help you, bring you up, like, that in terms of America has always been the case as a general acceptable concept of American culture, that it's about me and mine and pulling us up as high as we can go because we're pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. And that's how it works. I think it's a false sort of sense of Americanness that we really help those around us. I think it's generally, even in terms of our dealings with other countries, it's a self-interest type situation. Yeah. So I just feel like it's just manifested itself in its people, and that's what it is. I think it's interesting that we talk about the class situation and whether or not that's just going to separate the classes further. And on the one hand, it kind of seems like that would be the case, but I feel like that is in the interim, because the one thing we do have going for us is that the information now is actually very available.
Yeah.
And in the past, the whole book thing, only putting certain books in colored libraries, like those types of situations made it possible for people.
But how do you interest them to go to those sites?
I don't necessarily believe that they're not interested in it. And I've watched children in schools now, whereas, no, they're not doing the math the way that we did it, or, you know, learning about grammar the way that we did it, and it pisses me off.
Trigonometry, like,
yes, but you have access to it, and they get excited when they get the access the way that they want the access. And the way that they want the access is on their iPads when they feel like looking at it, on their iPods when they feel like looking at it, on the computer when they feel like dealing with it. So yes, there are going to be lazy people that don't do what they're supposed to do and grow and what have you, but I just feel like we're actually probably giving the coming generation a harder time, maybe because we are sitting in a place where we're looking from behind and they're actually in a different place already.
Well, there's always going to be dumb people.
Yes.
Always.
But there's also always going to be people who strive for excellence and people who bring us up further. So no matter how many dumb people there are, unless they go and kill everyone who's smart, I mean, there's still going to be people who strive to have a better education and bring other people up with them and make advancements for humanity and things like that. So it's going to be – I feel like we're going to get a lot of people in this next generation that dismiss their education early on, and then we're going to have a wave of people that get it later on in their life. And then they actually become valuable members of maybe even the scientific community and things as they realize the importance of such later in their life.
Hmm. Well, there you have it.
Can I just say this one
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely.
I think that, because it was originally about black folks.
Yes.
So, I think that black folks, you know, we need to do better as a people. You know, and helping out our fellow, not underachievers, but helping out our fellow man who, you know, like probably wants to do better, but doesn't know any better about doing better. You know what I mean? And so, like, giving them more role models and really, and even the role models they have, like the Kanye's and the Jay-Z's and the Diddy's or whatever, you know, like, let them know, like, yo, knowledge is power. Like you need to learn the basic skills in life just to be able to get to the point where you can get to the starting line. Because right now, you're not even at the starting line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, we need to help ourselves so we can have another Jesse Jackson or another Al Sharpton or another Martin Luther King or whoever. You know, like, because, like, there needs to be someone else like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
What a great ethnically themed answer.
Young black people. It's not about what you have. It's about what you know.
Yeah.
Because what you know can get you what you need and what you want.
Holla.
So, where can we find you, lovely gentlemen, across the table?
Find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue.
At DJ Jesse J.
You can find me on Twitter and Starlet at Twitter and Starlet. Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet. Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Keep it racially themed, y'all.
Oh, yes.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.